The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Now, the one of these shows that runs on Tony Curry Radio, we've got now 18 different unique programs, everything from Damon Johnson doing a show, Need to Know, we got a Kiefer and Curry show, we've got a Blue show, and we do show with Hearts of Alabama Food Bank shows, non-for-profit shows, and this, of course, is one of those shows, Bite by Bite. He's Michael Coleman, the CEO of that wonderful organization, and I always love when you're just getting back from some type of meeting or something, or you just went out of town to meet with people, because you always come back with information, and I believe you just did. Did you not?
Yeah, I did. Went to Cincinnati, Free Store Food Bank.
My old hometown.
Do what?
My old hometown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love, I hate, I have to be honest, I'm not a fan of traveling, but I grew up before I got cable and became a huge Braves fan. I was a Big Red Machine fan. And, you know, back in the 70s. And so then, of course, I don't play in the same stadium. But pulling up and, you know, just the ride to the hotel, went past, you know, Paycor Stadium and where the Bengals play and their indoor facility. And just seeing all of that was just, it's just neat sometimes to see the different stadiums and different cities. And Cincinnati's a big place.
It is.
But they do a great job there. And that's one of the things about the Food Bank Network is other food banks open up. And what happened was it's a relatively small group. There's 200 food banks in the network. There was about 25 food banks represented, a little bit more than 10%. Because we're the ones involved who choose to get into the workforce development aspect. So I thought I'd just kind of share a few thoughts that happened, and we may talk about it again next week. I may not be able to talk about all of it today. But it comes out as, you know, I like the saying of how do we lessen the line? So if you think about a food bank line, economy, high inflation, the food bank line increases. So it's not just about, most of us look at it, even if you're not in workforce development, most of us in the food banking world look at it as we don't just want to hand food. That's the emergency. Is there any way we can affect lessening the line? And so that requires us then to go back and start looking at what are the root causes of poverty. And there's some real dangers in that, because what can end up happening is the way I kind of have thought about it and explained it is, let's say somebody's standing in line and you're talking to them and they go, well, you know, if I had a transportation, then I would be able to hold a job better, and then I wouldn't need to be in a food line. So we're like, okay, if we lessen the line, if we could solve some of the transportation issues. So let's say you get into that. And so you're able to help a few with, this is just imaginary programs in my head, but you're able to help some with transportation costs. And then you're like, well, you know what? There's some people that have transportation and housing call issues. So you're like, okay, well, let's add the housing element. And the more barriers that come, because we genuinely care about helping people. If there's nobody that's helping with that particular lift, we tend to want to say, okay. So the danger is you can end up becoming untethered from what your original mission is, and they call it mission creep. And it's fairly common in the nonprofit space, where you get mission creep, and then all of a sudden you look over here like, we lessen the line, but all of a sudden we have this independent work program over here that it's not even about, it's just for anybody in the community who wants to come. And again, the work, that work is fine.
Yeah.
But one of the things about a nonprofit is you have a mission statement, and your board of directors, one of their fiduciary responsibilities is to ensure that you stay within those boundaries. Well, if you start over here and you end up creating a whole separate different program, well, that's fine as long as you go in and update your mission that creating this workforce development program is part of that. So the whole thing is where does each food bank draw the line? Well, we have the freedom and flexibility that as a 501c3, we do wherever our own individual boards do. So some are way out there doing all sorts of things and good things. I tend to look at it as, because we have limited resources, what are the natural fits? I don't want to go so-called create a new program where we're like, yeah, this is just a good idea. So one of the things I'm looking at right now is we have about 10 to 15 inmates a day that come that we have to go pick up and bring here, and we have to take on at the end of the day to the work center. It's about 30 to 45 minute drive one way. And so it requires some resources. And they do get paid, but 60% of their pay goes to the state of Alabama, 40% goes to them, and it's a reduced rate. And it's just the law just in Alabama. I said all that to say, something that we can do, though, is instead of just having the same 10 to 15 come here, and typically that once we get them here, we're like, okay, no, we got them trained. We don't want to get rid of them. They keep coming unless they do something to violate rules, either at the food bank or back in at the work center. So what I'm proposing, though, is to get Ingram State, which is a college that trains inmates on particular things, is while they're here, taking 2 hours a day to put them through certified trainings. So OSHA 10, this required of every warehouse worker, forklift training certification, logistics. They learn how to do all our processing and inventory counting, all that kind of stuff. And once they get certified, and all that we can certify them is that we rotate them out and that they send new prisoners in there. So we become a source of certification so that when these inmates do get out of the prison system, they've worked in an environment. Of course, we're teaching soft skills, not just in a classroom, but just how we interact, and they're observing the rules and of what's appropriate, what's not. But they're leaving here with legitimate certifications. And that's a really big deal here in Montgomery, in particular, because Amazon is building a huge warehouse here, and they are directing from Mobile Bay a rail system dedicated. It's going to be a 2 mile spur that comes off of that. So they're going to create a railhead here in Montgomery.
Oh, wow.
That's going to keep trucks from having to come up and down as much down to free up some of the congestion at the Mobile port. And so they're just going to send huge amount, and then they're going to load them off here. Some of those are going to be for the Amazon. The bottom line is there's going to be warehouses popping up left and right. And what do you need? Well, in Alabama, we have very low unemployment because, you know, so they're turning to the prison system to say, hey, here's a source of people who are coming out that can be employees. But they already have challenges coming out of the prison system just to acclimate back to society, and they don't have the certifications that we need. So I'm like, okay, here's where it naturally fits. They're here already anyway. They're helping us. We just had to be very intentional about pulling out 2 hours of the day to give them the training that they need to benefit them, and then letting them go and bringing in new people, rotating them out. So you can see it's not a huge reach. We have a lot of these mechanisms already in place, so it's a natural fit. It helps us. It helps them. It helps our community preparing for the workforce development needs that are coming forth. And we're like, okay, we already have this relationship with pantries in the college system. Well, we have these trucks. Let's do some CDL training. We have these facilities here with other forklift training and other space warehousing issues that we can use. So I have a mindset. I have a heart for workforce development. And like, let's use the resources we have. When we're not using this building, when we shut down at 3:30 every day, we start at 6, we shut down at 3:30. That's 3:30 till the next morning that our forklifts are sitting still, our trucks are sitting still, this huge facility is empty. How do we use that? How do we squeeze more juice out of our facilities to better prepare people who need that boost, who need that lift, who need that support, but also to create an even more quality workforce for those in our area? So that's just kind of where my heart is. That's my background. And we're moving forward with that. The conference was about sharing ideas. So I went up there and I learned what some other people are doing. And I'm like, hey, that's great. That's not a good fit for where we are. Mm-hmm. But that's what's so great about this is we're all thinking big together. And then able to assess what's the right fit for each of our communities. And so we're super excited. Everybody who's in the workforce development space says, oh, this is great. So we've got a lot of community support. We've got a lot of government support. And what I found is if you're willing to be a player, and what I mean by that is just to say, hey, I don't know what resources I have, but I want to better my community. I want to better people's lives. So I want a seat at the table to at least have a discussion to see where can I fit in. And it doesn't matter if you're even you don't have to be a nonprofit or you don't have to be a government agency. You can be a for-profit agency where you have these private-public partnerships to work towards the good of the community. I just think those are the people that are like we had talked about on Mission Minded previously, you know, just seeking excellence and seeking the good of everybody and not just having an internal focus on, hey, I'm going to get mine and everybody else got to go find out where to get there. So we're real excited. We're going to make a difference in a lot of people's lives. We're going to hopefully impact workforce community here and do it in a way that really just restores a lot of people and helps with that lift to get them to where we believe they have the capabilities of being.
This is Bite by Bite.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.